You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome back. Boy, this is exciting. Welcome back to Talkville, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast, where every week we watch an episode of Smallville, mostly that I haven't seen. We rewatch them, and then we talk about them with you. We discuss. I try not to shit on the show. Ryan has an objective point of view, first-time watcher. Tom can kind of step back.
I just try to remember things.
Yeah, exactly. Look, we've got cool guests in store. We've got a lot of great guests. We hope this builds and builds. I want to say, we have more ideas to connect with the community, so that's good. We can't wait to build on what we've done so far in season one. The patrons, you know who you are. You keep the show going. We need you. If you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/talkville and do what you can. We're trying to make that community larger and a lot more fun as well. Bryce is working hard. If you didn't get a chance to call and leave your questions for this episode, make sure you get some in for future episodes. Our hotline, 213-538-2883. Make sure you call way ahead of time. I mean, episodes in advance, because sometimes we'll do five in a row. Also, it's important, our socials. Ryan, do you know our socials?
I don't.
It's at Talkville Pod on Twitter, at Talkville Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Are we doing TikTok? I'm a little old.
That's what you want from a salaried employee.
I can't.
Salary.
Yeah, salary. Well, one day, hopefully. But I can't get into the TikTok thing. I try. Bryce connects people through TikTok. It's all right. What are you going to do?
I won't. I bet Ryan's TikTok would take
he's
off.
He's a TikToker. You're a TikToker, yeah. Ryan?
No, I'm too old for that.
Jeez, thanks for playing that out. Look, if you're watching on YouTube right now, let us know what you thought about this episode. What stood out to you most? It's so exciting. Also, we have TalkvillePodcast.com for awesome merch. We're going to get more merch. I think what we're going to do, Tom, is sign a bunch of stuff, me and you, when I see you at a con, have it available so they know it's from us on the Talkville website. It's a lot of exciting things coming up. All right, without further ado, let's get into it, man. Season 2, Episode 1, Vortex.
Well, I'm super excited about this one because I couldn't remember what this was about other than the fact that I knew they were like, you know, it was a carry on from the other one. And I do believe that we shot this in, you know, at the end of the first season, only because some of the sets that would make sense that they would all stay up.
No, we didn't.
And we'd shoot in them.
We didn't. No, I remember shooting this season two going, oh my God, how do I get back into character? How do we match the blood drip on my eye? All these things. And after a few takes, I hopefully we all got into it, but, so welcome, Ryan.
Hi.
Taz.
Hi.
Welcome, Thomas. Hi. Welling.
Thank you.
All right. Vortex aired September 24th, 2002. Director Greg Beeman. That's why it was such a good episode. I already said it's good. There's no hiding that. Writers, teleplay, Philip Levin's story by Al Goff, Miles Miller. Guest star Tom O'Brien as Roger Nixon. Here's a little synopsis. Picking up from our to-be-continued tornado storm in the season one finale, Clark saves Lana from the tornado. Jonathan gets trapped underground with Roger Nixon. Lex goes on the hunt for both of them, and the town of Smallville recovers from the devastation. Lot more happens too. After a previously on Smallville intro, the episode picks up where we left off. Lana's in a tornado. Lionel is about to be impaled. Jonathan is chasing down Roger Nixon. I thought all of this was really good.
This is a surprisingly, I don't remember it, huge episode.
Huge.
Like huge. There's not only big sets and big movements and visual effects and stunts, and you're moving from all over Smallville. Like this is not a cost-cutting episode.
No. No, it was unbelievable. When I watch these episodes like this, I'm thinking, wow, this is Smallville. This is why people love Smallville. It really was. Inside the tornado, Clark makes his way into Lana's truck, being thrown about. He uses his body to protect hers as the car gets ripped apart. I love the look on Lana's face when she looked. Her eyes are kind of hidden, and you can see her looking at you. Wasn't that dope?
That was better. That look that she does, that one eye look, and it's like, that's better than everything that's happening around it, right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, later we hear that how he, you know, they don't really talk about it, or he doesn't want to talk about it. But that look, I forgot about that. And that was like, that was a tiger, you know.
Beeman's framing, that framing on that shot, it wasn't just her looking at you. It was, like you said, it was that one eye. It was almost astonished, surprised, scared. Am I dreaming? Am I dying? What's happening? Are you the savior? You know, there's a lot of things that I was thinking. After Clark's spaceship takes off from the Kent storm cellar, it makes its way into the tornado. However, the storm dislodges the key, causing it to power down. As Luther...
This was really unfortunate. I mean, this spaceship has crossed universes, perhaps times, perhaps dimensions, but a little lightning strike in a tornado. And where does it go? I guess we'll find out later in the series. What happens? Where does the key go?
Well,
where
it's in the cornfield at the end of the show.
Well, if I can quote Will Smith from Independence Day, welcome to Earth.
Bitch. Did he say bitch?
He didn't say bitch.
He just said welcome to Earth.
Yep.
At Luther Manor, Lex finally snaps out of it and decides to pull his father from the rumble and near certain death. I did like that moment. It was like, you know, Lionel's awesome. He's just like, Lex, son. And I'm just like, let this effer die. Let this effer die. And then he snaps out of it. So you see a glimpse of that darkness, of that, you know, just a moment that it's inside of him. And he's trying desperately to shake it off.
Well, I also think it was cool and you know, kudos to you that you were able to live in the multiple sort of emotional dynamic there. You could have very easily just been, you know, had this thought of like, I should let him die. No, Dad, let me help you. You know, but there was a standoff there. It was like high noon.
Yeah. And it's also, again, you know, when you see sometimes a good performance, or if I see a good performance, I go, oh, wow, I'm pleased with my performance, or Tom's performance, or whoever. Got to give a lot of credit to Greg Beeman, too. He has a good eye. That's why he just, I believe, won an Emmy. He has just an ability to find that moment, to get that character out of you if it's not quite present. And a lot of actors directors will be like, that's good enough. Yeah, great. Moving on. That's great. But it's not what it could be. And Beeman doesn't let it go.
And he has that way of keeping you honest and creating that trust with you, as we've discussed before, I'm sure he came in and gave you some very simple, wonderful piece of something at some point. And you're just like, oh, and then it's like action.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a gift.
I'm sure of it. As Jonathan catches up to Nixon, who has the footage of Clark using powers, a mobile home trailer swept up by the tornado was falling out of the sky. Instead of taking the footage and running, Jonathan pushes Nixon out of the way, saving him and trapping both men underneath the trailer.
Did anyone else catch the Wizard of Oz references throughout this whole thing?
No.
Oh, Chloe kept dropping them left and right.
What'd she say?
But it you know, this trailer thing is part of it. You know,
that's right.
There's a couple little, I mean, it's Twisters and Al Miles are smart. They're going to weave that stuff in. But as we go through this,
You know what I found cool is the conversations with Roger Nixon. Usually it's one note. He's just the bad guy. But the things he was saying, like, your son, he's not just your son. He owes it to the world, Mr. Kent. Mm-hmm. You know, he has more to, like, it's truth. There's some truth to that. And what ultimately, inevitably, you will do is help save people and the planet and whatever. You're the protector of the universe. And he's not wrong, but he's just kind of malevolent.
Well, and you get a little bit of foreshadowing from Martha as we get into it about, like, when the time comes, I know you'll make us proud, Clark.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
As the storm ends, we see the Smallville Hospital overwhelmed with patients as Clark brings in Lana. I love the scope. I like making that big. It looked chaotic. It's great.
Tuxedo.
Yeah. Lionel gets admitted. We learn he's in critical condition, has suffered severe damage to his optical nerves. Clark goes to find his parents and discovers that his father is missing. Underneath the trailer, we see the good nature of Jonathan Kent as he chooses not to kill the man, threatening to expose Clark and ruin his family, but instead, he protects Nixon and tries to find a way out before they run out of oxygen.
Let me say it once so I don't have to say it again. John Schneider killed it.
Killed it.
In this episode. Killed it. And the fact, you know, him grabbing the pipe, not being caught up in the other actor's agenda, you know, he's like, I thought you were going to kill me. And he's like, of course you would think that. But
yeah,
because not explaining because that's what you would do. You know, like there's just, John did a lot of physical, awesome stuff here. And as you know, working with John, there wasn't a lot of chaos around John when he was preparing or anything else. It would just be like action and he'd be in it.
You know, there's a scene at the end of this with Jonathan we'll get into, but when he just, I know it was his choice. When he starts crying, when he's full of rubble, I'm like, oh my God, that was intense. Yeah, like that. And I guarantee that wasn't written. Chloe goes to check on Lana in the hospital, and she recounts the story of getting pulled into the tornado. While doing so, she becomes suspicious of how Clark saved her. By the way, she seemed so injured, so hurt, near death. And she's like, hey, Chloe, everything's fine. It was, I didn't like that direction, Greg. All right. As much as we bow to your abilities, I felt like, whoa. That's the transition of them. Just everything's fine. She should have been a little slower, a little more injured, a little more. But, you know, I let it go.
Is that not part of why it's so suspicious, though? Right.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, she was knocked out. Maybe a sling on her arm where she's like fighting through something. But maybe that's too like. Dawson's Creek. I don't know.
Didn't like it. Lex meets up with Clark in his barn, and the two talk about their lost, critically injured fathers. Lex then lends a hand to find Jonathan. You know what I thought about this episode? I kept thinking because of my, I don't know, what do you call it, ego or whatever. I was like, damn, the lighting on me was pretty good. I look really good in this episode. First time I was like.
You probably just had a really great hiatus. You're feeling good about
it. I'll look like shit.
Yeah. Or something.
And I'll look like shit later on. Trust me.
No, the lighting did look a little different. I don't know what. I mean, it's just a new season, new money, different. I don't know. You had a different gaffer somewhere.
You know what it is? Huh. Not only different gaffer. So you're agreeing with me that I look good.
Yeah. I think everybody looked better.
Yes. But I will say that if you don't know this as listeners, you probably don't know this. Some of you will probably know it, but Tom knows it, that different lenses tell a different story. And if you're on a long lens, like a 100mm lens, it's just sort of compacts everything, the image, and everything looks better. You just look, the background's more blurred, and it just makes you look better. The longer the lens, the better. If they use a fisheye or something like a 20mm, you're not going to look as great. Yeah. You look a little wide.
So for some of you on your iPhone, that 0.5x thing when you take a picture and you look all wonky, that's a fisheye lens.
Yeah,
exactly. A lot, you really don't want that too close to your face unless it's on purpose.
I like that Nixon continues to poke and prod Jonathan, calling him a hick and pointing out that he and Martha couldn't have their own kid. This causes Jonathan to punch Roger in the face. Nixon receives a call from Lex looking for him. When Jonathan finds out Lex is on the line, he takes the phone and chucks it against the wall. I like that moment, and I was like, oh man. Lex looks like he is just caught. He's not.
Yeah.
But we know that Lex is really saying, Nixon, stop this. I told you to stop going into the Kents. But Jonathan doesn't know that. And he looks really guilty and like a liar to Clark.
Yeah. I mean, you don't. It'd be like your ex-girlfriend breaking into your house and saying that she's there to help you.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe her.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe her. Lex tries telling Clark he was calling the fire department, but Clark doesn't buy it. The next day, Clark meets up with Lana at the town, and she continues to question how she's still alive and shares more of her suspicions with Clark. Everybody's suspicious. Everybody at this point. And it's so early in the show, season 2, episode 1. And you're like, all right, are they going to find out his secrets this fast? Oh, wow. What are we going to do here? But
the whole problem of it all, the whole dance thing, puts a lot of pressure on people.
It does. Back underground, Nixon tells Jonathan that he would use Clark's powers for wealth and fame, and that it's crazy they don't share this with the world. Jonathan tells Nixon he knows a way out, but is prepared to die where they're at if Nixon doesn't give up his proof of Clark. So then he destroys the tape. He just rips it up. He gives the tape to Jonathan. He rips it up. The Jonathan Kent search party grows as Chloe and Pete join Clark in the woods of Smallville. They come across the trailer that has trapped Jonathan, but because it's lead, Clark is not able to see through it with his powers. On the search, Clark talks with Chloe. Chloe tests Clark by saying they should be friends, hoping he disagrees.
Really bad timing here, Chloe.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking for my dad who might be dead, and you're talking about our relationship.
And not for nothing, why does Clark not really super speed ever during this whole thing? You think he could have just checked the entire town in like 4 seconds? Did you notice that? He didn't super speed around.
I'll email Al.
I was just saying for that one.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Tom, I can't tell you how much therapy helps me and helps so many of my friends. Ryan uses BetterHelp. It is just something that it's part of my routine. And BetterHelp's been with us a long time. And guys, the stigma is gone. Getting help and feeling better about yourself and learning things about yourself, understanding is part of the process and so important, so you don't end up old and miserable. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Therapy with BetterHelp is just a good place to start when you want to understand you better. If you're thinking of starting therapy, please give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire. It takes no time at all to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/talkville today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/talkville.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
So Clark goes with her idea of being friends. This breaks Chloe's heart. She's crying, and Pete comes over and says, "Damn, what happened?" That'll never get old. Back at the town, Martha comforts Lana, who's still recovering from what happened in the tornado, by telling her a story from the day of the meteor shower in Smallville when she was just a little girl. And that was a nice, touching moment. Lana and Martha don't have much together, and that was nice. I even have a scene. Lex has a scene with Martha later on, and she was very powerful in that scene, which we'll talk about.
She has a way of disarming you in the best motherly way. I saw that. I see it with Kristen in the scene. I can see her sort of relaxing and maybe opening up a little, as opposed to when Lex comes in and orders a cappuccino and, like, you know, the armor goes up, which is normal.
Yep, I agree with you. Underground, as both men grow more hopeless, Jonathan opens up to Nixon about how keeping Clark may have been a mistake, but when he first started showing his powers as a toddler, they were afraid scientists would take him away for good. And that was the scene I was talking about. Man, that was emotional. And, you know, when Jonathan has his moments, you could see he's a really good actor, you know?
What a hard role to play, Jonathan Kent, if you don't actually have kids. Like, if they just hired, like, a single guy like you to play Jonathan Kent, I think that'd be tough.
I agree with you. Although I would just channel Blanche. Like, oh my God, if something happened to Blanche.
What happened to my dog?
My dog could fly. At Smallville Hospital, Lek pushes for surgery for Lionel against one of the other doctor's suggestions to let his optic nerve heal naturally. Looking at old maps, Clark finds out there was an old church with a basement destroyed in the meteor shower. Hopefully, his father is there. Clark rushes to the scene. He flips over the 50-foot trailer.
Do you think that whole thing of the whole nature versus nurture, and I think it's Lionel's fault that Lex wouldn't consider nature actually working? Like, you know, that comes from your father. When they're like, it could probably hear naturally. And you're like, no, I don't believe in nature. I believe in progress. I believe in money. You know what I mean? I think that's a little twinkle there. I mean, why else would he make that decision? The doctor's literally saying, most likely, this is the better choice.
Yeah.
But no, you have to act now. And you say that to Lionel later. You thought action right away, or there's a different line, but action right away was the best thing. And he's then agrees with you and says you're both wrong, but we'll get to that.
Clark flips over the 50-foot trailer to get to his father. This was awesome. That was probably a 6-hour setup or more. Probably could have taken 8 hours to do that scene.
Unfortunately, I don't remember. I mean, in fact, even the stunt of getting Lana out of the truck, I kind of remember being there, and I kind of remember being like, well, just make it look hard. Make it look difficult.
Yeah.
And we got away with it, but I don't really remember doing it. Plus, the other thing, all the tornado stuff, imagine all the hours it took for Set Deck to set all that up before we ever got there.
Oh, my gosh.
The car, Nixon's car in the tree, the whole thing.
Yeah, a lot of times we were doing practicals, and I don't think they do a lot of practicals. They would have done something CGI with that, wouldn't they?
I think there was a lot of garbage spewed around after that tornado in town.
I'm talking about the trailer.
Yeah, but in that whole set, that's all practical stuff around that trailer. I didn't lift up an actual trailer. That would be CGI, but there was a trailer there.
Oh,
for sure.
Interesting. Clark flips it over, but once he approaches, he's stopped as the kryptonite rocks on the ground weaken him. Nixon sees this, grabs a meteor rock, puts it in Clark's jacket, and attempts to kidnap him to expose his powers. Freaking Nixon. Dixon, more. Before he can get away, Jonathan tackles Nixon. The two begin to fight. Nixon breaks free, and just before he impales Jonathan with a piece of metal, he gets shot by Lex Luthor.
Now, that was a good surprise.
That wasn't a good surprise. My first kill, was it? I killed somebody in season one, didn't I? Well, I guess zero? I killed the old woman by accident. Didn't I kill someone? I know someone listening is going to tell me. Anyway.
I think Ryan's asleep.
I
just watched this once. Oh, I watch it once
sorry.
And forget
this
it.
This makes the Lex shooting flashback in Zero more believable.
There we go.
That's what Bryce said.
Thanks, Bryce.
There you go. Oh, I like it. As medical
help. By the way, he's a perfect shot. I thought, because I maybe lost track of where the memory card was for the camera, as I brought up earlier, I thought it was going to be one of those, like, he gets shot, but the memory card stops it, something. Uh-oh. But because I didn't remember how this ended.
As the medical help comes to the woods for Jonathan Kent, Clark tells Martha she has been a super mom. Jonathan reveals that Lex and Nixon were working together, and Lex gets thanked for saving his life with a good old-fashioned handshake. You know,
it felt like there was more to unpack in that conversation.
I felt like Lex could have said, Mr. Kent, I want you to know I did everything in my power to keep Roger Nixon away from you and your family. I hope you believe me. I think that would have been nice. And then Jonathan waits a long beat and then says, thanks for saving my life, Lex.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I don't know if that's true. I mean, I feel like them being at odds with each other is just meant to be a consistent thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they're ever meant to reconcile.
Yeah, but this makes you feel like, oh, maybe it's going to work out, even though we know it doesn't.
Well, you can tell based on what the words you both choose that it's not going to work out.
Less is better. Later on the farm, Clark shares his experience inside the tornado with Jonathan. I really like this, and tells him it felt like he was willing himself toward the truck and able to fly. That was a really cool moment, but we'd never see him do it again.
Nor is it really that apparent because I went back and watched it in the tornado, and I'm like, it just looks like he happened to catch the truck and moved himself. I mean, listen, I get what it is, but
or maybe the tornado just sucked you in. But regardless, it's a feeling you had. That's all. I think that's what it is. After his operation, Lionel tells Lex the surgery failed and it would be better if he let him die, as he is now blind. I thought it was a little weird that Lex walks away. I
thought he was testing to see if his dad would watch him. I don't think Lex believed his dad. I thought, is my dad faking this? Is this like a ploy? That's what I got out of it. He backed off and I was waiting for like, you know, is he looking at me because he's trying to pretend he's blind or not blind?
Yeah, I felt like it would have been more powerful when he says that to Lex, just kind of take one step back or just take a slow zoom in on Lex's face and that's it. Leave it on my face of what happened and it's his fault instead of a wide shot. I just disagreed with that end shot. I thought it should have been a close up on Lex seeing what he had done to his father and then cut. To me, that would have been more impactful, but I didn't direct it.
They probably had that coverage, and that was a choice in post.
Oh, they definitely had that because somebody probably because Ken Horton, God love him, probably was like, "We can't end on a close up. We got to jump out and show that he had little rules like that."
You could always end on a close up. We've done it before, and let me tell you, there's an episode way down the road where I had an idea for an end shot of the episode, and I called I think the creators or whatever and talked to the director and sold them on it, and it ends. Just on my eyes. It might have been the one I directed, actually, to tell you the truth. I think it was the one I directed. I'll have to look.
Good. That would be even better.
Yeah. This episode closes with Lana confronting Clark about how she survived, and Clark assures her that he is normal. You know, as great as that scene was, you know, you're very, look, I thought you were great in it, but part of me wanted you to like kind of say, Lana, I don't know what to tell you. Why? How would I save you in a tornado? More like, instead of, you kind of look like you, not saying much made you look a little guilty. Did you agree?
Well, I do. And I also think that one of the beauties of the way Kristen played Lana was she wasn't going to tell him. She needed him to say it because then it means something. If I tell you what you did right or wrong, that doesn't have the same impact as you telling me what you did right or wrong. It's like a psychologically. And I thought that she had a lot of patience in that, but Clark definitely looks guilty.
He does. That's the only thing I would have wanted him to look more like, you know, when somebody tells me I did something, I'd be like, you're out of your freaking mind. are you kidding me? Yeah. I flew in an effing tornado.
So you want him to gaslight her?
That's what he's doing anyway. Lana, I think the world of you, and I would love to tell you why it happened, but sometimes things just happen. I don't know, but it still was good. But I was like, I would have. Thought.
Or like Lana, there's a good chance that you may have hit your head in the tornado. Maybe this is a dream.
Maybe Clark is just not a good liar because he doesn't want to lie. And so he just is like, I don't know what to tell you. So, you know, you could kind of go with both ways. All right. Highlights and lowlights. Any other things you guys?
Good tension, though.
Yeah. You guys notice anything else from
at the end, we see the spaceship in the cornfield.
The spaceships in the cornfield.
I think I missed that.
You thought it was the end credits and you just pressed stop. Yeah, it was just sitting there.
That's why I'm like, where did it go? Well, you didn't finish the episode, idiot.
I have no idea where that ship goes. I have no idea. I guess we'll find out as the season goes on.
Somebody's cornfield.
Somebody's cornfield.
I don't. Look.
Is that a Garth Brooks song?
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Interesting things to note first, then we'll get into things we remember from shooting this episode. First episode without Eric Johnson in the credits and with John Glover as a regular cast member. Jonathan Kent says the cave must have cut off their air supply, but you can see clearly sunlight streaming in behind them. If sunlight can make it in, so would air.
So that's a good point. There was a point where I was like, where is all this light coming from? And I had to rewind like 10 seconds and see that they'd lit all these candles with something. And then I noticed a little light peeking through and whatnot, but I didn't necessarily feel like it was an oxygen issue down there as it was maybe these things will collapse or maybe we'll starve or never get out. I don't know. I don't think it was an air thing.
I didn't pay attention to that too. I let that go. I really didn't
care.
I don't think I care.
It makes sense.
Ryan, did you care?
It makes sense, but they got to like the scene somehow. And normally when you need a backlight, you get like a little streak of sunlight in the background. That's just classic.
Do you also notice that they only stayed on one side of this little room? There was no 360 shot. You never saw all the walls anyway. It was like a stage set. So if you're worried about the pinhole lights coming through, and
that's the only part. That's the only part they said, that props and set decorators. That's all they set up. Yeah. Which is that one side.
Hey guys, this episode marks the first appearance of Clark's red jacket, blue shirt outfit.
Thank God. It only took a year.
You started watching wearing the shit out of that, didn't you? How many of those jackets did you think you had?
Oh, dude, I remember going into the makeup trailer. I don't remember if it was this episode, but at some point in second season, I remember going to see Steve in the wardrobe trailer about something. And it was like, I'm going to say 50. It might have been 30. But just, they were all lined up there. It took up half the wardrobe trailer. And Steve was like, that's what we're doing now. I don't care if you like it. And I'm like, I like it. And he goes, I don't care if you like it either. I was like, what?
Let me ask you, though. What a shame that you didn't get a couple of those jackets. I know. All right.
I wasn't thinking that way then.
I know. You never were thinking that way.
I mean, to this day, when I work on another project, and you know, there's always that introductory conversation you have with wardrobe, hair, and makeup about like, hey, what's this? And I'm like, I would prefer not to wear red or blue. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, I prefer. Like, I don't like it. I don't like it anymore. It's not anyone's fault. But if I were to show up to do Winchester's and they had a red jacket for me, I'd be like, is this a joke? It's just like a...
Yeah, well, it's not... It's ingrained. Well, I get it. It's not... You know? Well, it's just because that was a character that you played that always wore that for 10 years. You don't... They should understand that. You don't want to wear that. So, all right. Voicemails. This is... First, we're going to start out with the hotline. We got some great messages today. We're going to do patron privileges first. Patreon.com/talkville. You help the podcast, support it, if you will. This is Brian G with his question. So let's see.
Hey, this is Brian G. My question is for season 2, episode 1, Vortex. Why do you guys think that Clark doesn't tell Lana the truth at the end, even though she's caught him red-handed in the tornado? Do you think that maybe he's sensing a similar Lex-like vibe to her questioning about being saved and her obsession with being honest and open? And do you think that he was right not to tell her, or do you think he should have trusted her?
Listen, it's a perfect opportunity to tell her. I think she would understand. I think it would bring them together. I think it would end the series in a bad way. But you have to remember, Clark was raised, you know, Jonathan very clearly states a number of his principles when it comes to parenting in this episode. And it's like, we got to just keep it low key till we know what's going on. So I just don't think he had the tools to express it. And the tension in that scene, that's why it works, I think, is because you want him to tell, but then everything's over. You know,
Ryan,
think she knows.
Ryan had a really stupid look on his face for a second.
Sorry, I bit my lip on the inside. I was just feeling that. Like,
what are you doing? You're like this.
That's a TikTok moment.
Looks like you're about to beach it out. You know, I'll say something. I wanted you because it's more important what you think on this. But all of a sudden, it's the obvious. It's like we've got 9 seasons to go. If he tells Lana right away, you know, what are we doing here? You know, then you're...
Then you get into she's got to hit her head and forget or go away or, you know, be killed. That's what happens.
Yeah, it just makes it too hard for the series when someone else knows. And I don't know. Here we go. This is Michael P.
Hey, guys. It's Michael Piccioni from College Station, Texas. This question is for the episode Vortex. Tom, there's a scene where you actually flip an RV over and visually, it looked like the real deal. Now, I'm not sure if you were maybe hitting the gym up a little bit more or maybe had a little bit of help with special effects, but I'm curious, how'd you guys pull that scene off? Thanks.
Nice shirt, too. Talkville shirt. Available at talkville.com.
I hate the fact that I don't remember, because that makes a bad podcast for anyone listening. Like, oh, why am I listening to this guy if I can't remember anything? But I don't remember. But, you know, we would flip tractors. We flipped the things, and there was, like, pistons that would throw and wire work and all these other things. So I just don't remember. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Obviously, it was... something helping it. I think that what they probably do, they had giant ropes on the back end of it and a trailer pulling it slowly the opposite direction. And then they you know, green screen, they got rid of the ropes in post. Here we go, Leanne.
So I had a question regarding the episode Vortex. So all 3 of the veterans in this episode, Schneider, Glover, and Annette, they all brought their A game. So my question is, for you, Rosie and Tom, did you guys feel any anxiety or any pressure to live up to their phenomenal performances? And if you did that ever subside as the series went on?
I never was. I'll just say I rarely get intimidated by people. I never think I, you know, I was I think, you know, it's just like, I'm here to do my thing. I've got to do what I do. And I don't, it's not a competitive thing. Like, I got to step up. I just got to do what I want to do and what they want me to do. And that's what I'm more focused on is doing, having a believable good performance. Tom?
I used it completely to my advantage being around, especially those actors, but any actor. I was just like, it worked for Clark to not really know and to be swayed and moved by the other characters' agendas. So I just used it.
Hi, this is Lauren from Twin Cities, Minnesota. This question's for Ryan about the episode Vortex. On a scale of 3 roses to 3 bombs, how impressed were you with the visual effect of the truck falling apart in the tornado? For me, it was 3 roses. Thank you.
I agree. I think that was pretty good.
The truck falling apart?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like getting ripped apart in the tornado.
That's pretty cool.
It was really good. Like, it was definitely like, hey, motherfuckers, season two. Like, we've upped our budgets.
No, plenty of opportunities in that scene to just cut away and not even spend the money to show you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they did it. They killed it.
Yeah.
All right, here's Adam. Let's hear what Adam has to say on the hotline.
Hey, guys. This is Adam from Richmond, Indiana. My question is for Tom and Michael. In the season 2 premiere, Vortex, did you guys feel any added pressure going into the second season, kind of knowing that you were the biggest show on the network at that time and kind of feel the need to top what you guys had done in season 1?
I felt like we were always... I don't think we ever compared ourselves to anybody else. I think it was just about continuing to do what we do and keeping the vibe of like elevating material. I don't remember kind of strutting on set and feeling that. Michael, you probably did because it was the first time you really had any success. That was just a joke. You had tons of success.
No.
You would know better. I didn't know any better. I was going back on the second season for my first time.
I just felt like I don't... Look, again, there was no social media really out there, right? So we weren't seeing this like constant like, oh, so-and-so says this, so-and-so every day, like all these shows are doing now. And you can get really kind of bogged down and consumed by that. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Yeah. I felt less
pressure. A lot of times what happened to me was the more success we had, the more obligations were being asked of me. And those obligations were either photo shoots or interviews. So it's added work. The celebration aspect doesn't increase. There's actually less time for celebration. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Now, I'm just kind of thinking about this now. Like, there was no like, hey, we did great. That doesn't happen. It's like, okay, now we need you to do this. Now we need you to do that.
Yeah, you know.
And it's just like more.
You know, there's never in this business, the companies that own you, I hate to use the word own, but sort of like you're obligated to. Very rarely do they make you feel like you are important, that you're great, that you're...
It's a sign of weakness.
Yeah, they want to have the power. They want to... And I'll tell you, if they did more of that, I think it'd be a better thing. The whole thing of weakness, showing your weakness is bullshit to me. I think that if you were like, you know, if the president of the network called and said, hey, I just want to say the show is awesome and you're awesome. And I want to thank you. And, you know, this is just incredible. And they don't do that. They rarely, rarely do that. And then when there's a bona fide hit like this, it's smart to do that. You know, if you have a company, you know, you give your, you know, a raise and you say, hey, I want to thank you for all you've done. And, you know, and we knew we were successful. And I think they hid that success. They tried to hide it where it's a good show. It's the ratings are good. They're not like we thought they would. It's always something. It's never good enough. So F you.
It's really expensive.
Yeah. Here's Gabriella.
Which it probably was.
Yeah, it was.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Michael. I'm Gabriella from Italy. My question for Vortex is about the blending of visual effects and acting. So which visual reference you had, Tom, to play this scene with Kristen, since there is a lot of CGI here? How did you, Tom, manage to play this scene? You guys are the first podcast I ever followed, so thanks for that, and thanks for Smallville.
Oh, thanks, Gabriella. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening and watching.
There were a lot of the visual effects were happening behind us. The crawling into the truck and all that was practical. That was wire work. And I just remember, and I had a really great stunt guy at the time and great coordinators giving me tips about like, because sometimes what you think you're doing doesn't look right. And you get a really good stunt coordinator, stunt double to be like, hey, I know you think you're doing this, but if you do this, it sells it better. And I just think there was a lot of showing the effort, feeling the truck in my hands and not just trying to float on this wire and just, you know what I mean? Like really trying to feel the pressure of the vacuum that would be around us.
You really sold that. You did sell that. And that's hard. And I wasn't even thinking about that, but green screen and all that stuff is very difficult. And, you know, you have to trust all the people around you that to hopefully they're going to make you look the best you can look because it's up to them. You don't know how you look. You're like,
and keep you safe at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not in a safe scenario when you're on wires and there's trucks and there's wind and a lot can go wrong. So it's like, okay, you're going to keep me safe. And okay, like, all right, it's a trust situation. Yeah.
Did you ever get frustrated when you were up there on the harness and be like, all right, guys, that's it. Come on. Like losing your cool because it was painful.
I mean, I don't think I lost my cool. Again, Chris Sarah, who was my stunt double for many years at the beginning, he did a lot of things for me before I ever had to go up. And a lot of times he took a lot of shit for it because they thought he was holding things up or speaking up too much, but he was kind of making it safe and making it better. So things, he would go through things before I would ever get there so that when I was there, I didn't have to be there so long.
Yeah.
It would be more efficient. And in the end, everything was better, but nobody ever takes back how they yelled at him.
Yeah.
No one says, hey, I'm sorry about that. You were right. He never got any credit.
That's what I do notice, Tom. I do notice that. I've seen this. If you're a star of a show or one of the stars of a show, there's a completely different tone directed to you than anyone else.
Yeah.
There's such, if you're an extra, many a time it's like, move over there. I told you to come in after that. It's very belittling, I believe. And they don't appreciate background like they should. Background really can be magnificent and make something like the hospital scene. I mean, it's just, you know, they take a lot of crap background and it's gotta be tough. And even crew members, they take a lot of crap. If you're not, you know, you hear it all the time, you know, you're out of focus, you know, it's just, it's pressure. Remember watching Marcus and it's such a tight frame and it's like a long lens and it's hard to focus on him. And it's like, and you could see him like, he's so like, oh, I got to get this right. It's really stressful for those guys.
Yeah. 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 A lot of it is you're a lot of it, unfortunately, and this is in a lot of situations in life. You only respect the people who can fire you, and everybody who you can fire, you tend to not respect so much, and that's not fair.
Yeah, that was a director, which I'll get into. I'll get into it anyway, because we have a mutual respect, but also we butted heads a lot as James Marshall, who is really a gifted director, very talented, but you know, not the easiest to work with at times. But you know, he's invested and a talent, but like we would get along really well. And then we would not get along.
It would be so weird for me to see at times to like support you. I would see you guys laughing and having a great time. And then like a week later, you guys be screaming at each other on camera.
Yeah, it was a passion. Like, I think it was a passion that we were both passionate people. Like I remember this was seasons into it and I would never pull this card. It's just not me. So I did it in a kind of a funny way, but we're on set and he knew that I needed to get out because I had to fly out the next morning. And finally he just goes, cause we're getting to the end of the day and they're not going to get to me. And I kept kind of bothering him going, hey dude, I got to fly out tomorrow morning. And he's like, you know what? You're not going to make your flight tonight. We're going to film tomorrow. And you know why? In front of the entire crew, because I am the director. And I said, well, James, not to be a dick, guys, you know I'm not like this, but I got to pull this one. James, you may be the director, but if someone's getting fired between the two of us, it's not me. And we eventually settled it and it was all nice, but it was one of those moments where it's like, oh my God, this is not fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun. But
I think we talked about this before. There were times where he on purpose would save things that were absolutely necessary that I was in, like my close-up at the end of a scene, which you need my character's close-up. He would just wait and wait to film it until like the last half hour of the night, because that made him get all these extra other things he wanted. And there were times where him and I kind of butt heads, and I'm like, I see what you're doing. I don't appreciate it. You know what? It doesn't need to be like
this. You know what? We're going to get him on the podcast.
He'd be great. I love that guy. As we're all telling all these stories, but listen, it's like work arguments. You know, the next day you see each other, you're like, what's up? You know, it's like, whatever.
Yeah, I just think that having him would be fun to kind of rehash some of this stuff. Do you remember that time we got into it? And then, but at the same time, sometimes I'd see an episode and I would call him after and go, brilliant. It's brilliant. You know, or, you know, I was wrong. Or he'd say, I was wrong. I think there was a, like I said,
he had definitely pushed the envelope. He's like Maverick trying to break the sound barrier in the new movie. He was that guy. He was always pushing.
He's the guy that if you were working with him, he wasn't the kind of director where you might get out an hour or two early. You knew you were going to work at least an hour over, usually. You knew he was going to take every second of that time that he had, which, hey, it's his time. It's his time. But at the same time, our view sometimes was, how many shots are you going to, I mean, this is ridiculous. It's a two banger, or it's just me at my desk opening up a laptop. Why are we doing 15 shots of this? There'd be some times where it was like too fucking much, dude. And I blow my shit. I'd be like, are you fucking kidding me? You know?
Well, there's an older actor, a friend of mine who I look up to, and we were discussing this one time, and he goes, here's the way I look at it. Everything outside of the time between action and cut is their time. When you say action, you say cut, that's my time. And I'll protect that. But if it's I'm waiting in my trailer, if it's we're going overtime, he's already walking in accepting it. And I'm like, well, that's a wise perspective. But he says, once you say action, now it's my time. And don't, you know,
you're right. So after he says cut, it's my time. And that's when I could say fuck off. all right. This is Bria from France, international friends and fans and listeners. Tom, how did you and Kristen shoot the scene of the tornado when Clark was saving Lana? We just talked about that. This scene is amazing. One of the most epic saves of the series. I mean, you discussed this already.
I agree, but I don't recall a lot of it. Yeah, I do remember always thinking that like that Kristen herself was like tough. You know what I mean? Wow. I'm tired. Like, I don't know. It's hard to describe, but I just remember thinking like she was there as much as she could, as far as safety goes. I do remember her just being like, you know, as most actors usually are, but you know, impressed, I guess.
Look, impressive episode. Rose and bomb rating for this one. Three roses is the best. Two roses, then one rose, then a heater is right down the middle, which is not good or bad. Then there's one, two, and three bombs. Three bombs being the worst. Ryan, we'll go to you first.
I'm going to give it a 2.5.
2.5 roses. I'm going to give it 2.5. Thomas Welling.
I'm going to give it a 3. Again, my criteria to decide upon is like, if somebody was like, what is Smallville? And I showed him this episode, I could just like start it and be like, enjoy. Like, this is dope. Check it out. It's huge. It's awesome. It's a 3.
Huh. Well, the good news is I'm either with you or with Ryan on this one.
Oh.
And,
it's very, very good Lex episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people will say Star Wars is the best of the trilogy. Some people say Empire Strikes Back is the best of all the Star Wars. I think Empire Strikes Back is probably a better episode, better movie.
I liked it.
Yeah, I love Star Wars. But there's something special about Star Wars that started the whole thing. So it's hard between the pilot and this episode and the finale of last year to sort of differentiate. So I am going to, just for the sake of saying, hey, the pilot was the initial launch, and that's why I'm going to go 2.5 roses. But I loved it.
I think I'm also drawn to the action aspect, maybe a little more than you. I like all the physicalities and stuff. It's just my thing.
I get it. Death count. Save count. How many people got saved? How many people died? 3 people saved. Jonathan saved Nixon. Lex saved Lionel. Clark saves Lana. One dead, Lex kills Nixon.
But doesn't Clark also save Jonathan and Nixon when he lifts off Bryce, the trailer?
He does. You save them.
For like a minute.
Still a save.
I mean,
does it count as a save if he dies 2 minutes later?
My analogy. In hockey, you can get a slap shot and the goalie makes a glove spectacular save out of the air and you're like, whoa! And then sometimes it will just like a blooper, a little puck will just trickle and hit his stick, but it's still considered a shot because it hits the goalie. So it's a save.
Or is that thing, because we're thinking World Cup right now, if like you hit it, the goalie like makes an amazing save, but it bounces off and then the next guy like comes in and hits it in. So I guess it still counts as a save, even though
it was a save and a goal.
I don't know, folks. Call in. Let's take a poll.
Through one episode of season two, one dead, three saved. I'd like to know how many total saves and Bryce. So how many dead throughout the whole series as well? So,
oh, gosh.
Well, he knows the first season, so we could just add that now and say in total. Mm-hmm. So we're getting down to Ryan's favorite scene. Mm-hmm. This is a tough one. He's going to write down three scenes. Already. What's that?
I made up my mind as I was watching it, and I'm gonna try to stick to it. But if you don't bring up,
let's try to guess
vote on the what you bring up. I'm gonna bring it up.
Let's try to guess before he even gives us three choices.
Okay,
interesting. Okay,
I'm gonna say it was the shot of Nixon being killed with Lex, showing that Lex killed him.
That's a good one. I think it's Clark saving Lana in the truck.
Okay, what are your choices, Ryan?
But it might be Jonathan beating up Nixon. But anyway.
No, those two are on it. There, I did have. Well, look, I got the truck save, because that's like bringing us back. We're all back in Smallville. And then the dramatic reveal of, not Rosenbaum, Lex shooting Nixon. And then as a wild card, I had Lex and Lionel's scene when Lionel says, "Would have been better if you let me die."
Damn. Who's that?
I forgot about that.
That's a tough one. All right. Tom, what are you going to choose?
I got to go with truck. The saving the truck. Clark saves Lana.
I'm shit, man. I'm not going with the truck. I'll say
Plus, look at all the questions. The fans love it. We had like
that may be so.
Many questions
that might be so. I am going to go with, man, I said the gun thing. I should stick with the gun thing, the reveal that Lex killed him, but kind of the blind thing. I'm kind of leaning towards that. I'm going to go blind. Ryan.
I'm going to go with truck.
Damn. It was truck. Wait, did you already pick or did you just decide?
Well, I went with truck.
You have to decide before.
I was tired and I decided now.
That's not fair.
I will dispute that one.
You have to for now on choosing before.
Okay, then you need to give me a minute.
For the record, I am one up on season two.
Oh, that's a questionable one. I think he gave it to you for mercy. It was a mercy thing. All right. Any final thoughts?
It's the truck one.
We got it. Any final thoughts, Tom?
No, I just thought it was fun. I wasn't sure what was going to happen this whole episode, and I really enjoyed watching it. Yeah.
That is it for episode one of season two. Stick around next week as things heat up when we talk about season two, episode two, Heat. Boy, I have a sex scene that we got to talk about that was cut. Pissed me off. Two sex scenes in Smallville that I had, or three, all cut, and that gives me a complex, brother. Let's take the discussion online. Let us know your thoughts on the episode over on our socials at Talkville Podcast or Talkville Pod. If you want to know if you want us to know your thoughts for other episodes in season two, leave a voicemail 213-538-2883.
That would really be horrible. I to have three sex scenes cut.
You know what? I'm kind of glad. I don't want people to watch me fake sex on a show like that. It was just like it was unnecessary. I remember saying, "Why do we need this?" And you know what it sucked is I'd work out for like 2 weeks as hard as I could just to look okay. And then they didn't use it. And I'm like, fuck, I hurt my arm. My pecs are killing me. Enough about me and my sex.
Wait, okay. One last thing on final thoughts. When Lex and Clark stumble upon Roger Nixon's car up in the tree, first of all, what a great job getting that tree up there because it looks legit. But your performance with the blood dripping, like, nobody wants blood dripping on their head, and you stayed with it. It just kept dripping and dripping as you looked up. I thought that was really great. So that's one of my final thoughts, and thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much. All right, guys, that's about it from myself, Michael Rosenbaum.
I'm Tom Welling.
And I'm Ryan Tejas, and the truck scene was the best scene, I decided.
Yeah, he decided on the spot. You guys look, tell us, man, what you think of that shit.
Look, no, I got persuaded over the course of the episode
that is
that I was wrong.
Once he said all the fans liked it, I'm gonna go wrong with that.
I got asked about it.
I think you changed your mind.
I did change. I'm allowed to change my mind.
You got it. He got a question.
You
got
to write it down and stick to it from now on. Damn it! All right, guys. Remember, folks. Always hold on to Smallville. We'll see you next week. All right, guys. This is the top tier shout out for Patreon. If you're a top tier patron or if you're a patron, we love you. Top tiers get shout outs. Here they are. Tommy, take over.
Here we go. Nikki G, Leanne P, Roz C, Janine R, and Santiago M.
Leah S, Little Lisa, Tom T, Sophie M, Betsy D, Abby P.
Michael H, Raj H, Ozzy M, Danielle B, 99 more, Lilani N, did I get it right, finally? Catherine P, and Brett G.
Ray H, Tom, it's Ray H. Remember Harada? She lives in Japan. She was pregnant. We love her. Catherine P. Brett G. Always hold on to Smallville. Estevan G. DJ Kento Twitch. Garrett W. Kimberly L. Justin S. Tom N. Tony V. Rodolfo V. Jason W.
Osama A. Lana rhymes with
banana. I think it's Lana rhymes with banana. Nancy D.
Brian G, Sarah W, Artoon K, Justin T, and Lucy O, Jeremy G, Amanda R, and Teddy 127.
Michael P, Theo M, Ryan R, Grumpyitis, and This Summer's Hit, Jordan M, Craig G, Christy R, Pollyanna, and Karen P.
Sounds funny. Derek G, Jor L, Richard S, Heather and Greg, Nico P, I Made Talkville Say Butts, Brian H, Georgina B, and Eric K.
Kristen B, Takashi M, Kevin E, Nanine W, Stephanie K, Darth Achilles, and Finky.
Kenny S, Tito G, Remix.
Remix.
Is that Remix or Remix?
Like Remix.
Remix. Stephen F. Damn, who's that? Jeanette E. Deadvid, Allison H, General Zod, and is that a new one?
I think it's Amara and Ev. Amara and Ev.
Oh. Nice.
Yeah, hi, Amara. Welcome. And hello, it's Kitty. Crake, that's Clark spelled backwards. It's Krauk, Clark spelled backwards. Drew M, Big D, John M, Doug R, Tommy Z, Boston 68, yo. Isabel, Sager S, Coriel.
Ivy and Sam, Brittany W, Mr. A, Cal T, Amanda K, Jesse C, Jason L, Claire M, fourth favorite character, Zoe, we love you. Scott S. and D. Brown.
Joshua W. Green Alice. Karen Ira. Eldon Supremo. Dan, what's up, my man? Also, a lot of these people are inside of you, patrons. I love you guys. Thanks for sticking with both. Good Lord. Sarah Q2 and Leslie V. Leslie V. We love you. We couldn't do the show without you. Thanks so much, guys.